the 18th anniversary of former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd's apology to the Stolen Generations was marked on the 13th of February. In 2008, then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd made a formal apology to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who were forcibly removed from their families, community and country under cultural assimilation policies. This year, $87 million has been announced by Minister for Indigenous Australians, Malandiri McCarthy, to boost support services for the Stolen Generation survivors, including family tracing and reunification services. National Indigenous Radio Services reporter Adam Evans asked Chair of the Healing Foundation, Kungurakan man Professor Steve Larkin, if things have improved or worsened 18 years on.
Well, there's probably a bit of both there. It's not as well off as we'd like to be, and unfortunately that seems to be the same at this time each year when we, you know, certainly review progress from the anniversary event the year before. So I think certainly a lot of scope for change and transformation. And not only that, I think it's now becoming extremely urgent.
We've also seen an announcement for the $87 million or something for support services for Stolen Generation, including family research and helping reunification and stuff like that. Yeah, what are your thoughts on that announcement?
Today's announcement, it signals an intention to, at best, maintain services, current service level provision for Stolen Generation survivors. But it's the bare minimum, and maintaining that's not going to create the change that the survivors need. So, you know, while we always welcome and we're grateful for the continuation of existing funding, we have to make the point that it doesn't even come close to meeting, you know, the increasing complex needs of survivors in their elderly years. They're ageing and they're still facing enormous barriers in accessing appropriate aged care, equitable redress and even access to records that hold their stories and their genealogical records. So I think there's still a fair way to go.
As you mentioned, time's running out. I'm assuming because you're saying that because, you know, a lot of our old people are dying off before they see some action on this. Do you find it, I guess, bizarre that we're talking about reunification instead of the services that you're saying that we need?
Well, yes, because what we've identified through, you know, Australian Institute of Health and Welfare research, that Stolen Generation survivors and their descendants represent a gap within the gap. So while we're trying to close the gap, we've been able to show, Institute of Health and Welfare work has shown that survivors fare much worse than other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people on a range of health and wellbeing and socioeconomic measures. And you know, that comparison's made with Stolen Generation survivors and other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people of the sort of same age cohort that weren't removed. So I guess our question is, how can we close the gap if that's the national policy of the Australian government, with all state and territories as signatories to that agreement? How can we close the gap if we don't meet the needs of those who face the biggest gap? And, you know, when we can't make sure that a small group of people who suffered immeasurably as children can at least feel safe and age with dignity. And we, you know, I guess we have to ask the question, why do we collect data? Why do we have sophisticated systems of data collection? Why do we build evidence, identify and map out priorities and work to a national plan on closing the gap? And yet we seem to overlook a systemic response or systematic response to the needs of arguably the most disadvantaged people in the country.
Where does more effort need to be made? Is it on a state level or is it the Commonwealth? And if it's the states, does the Commonwealth need to pressure states and territories more? Or, yeah, what do we need to be doing?
Well, I think what the first thing we need to understand is, I think it's all governments. The first part of your question, I think, but you know, we're calling for transparency. You know, we want some clear information about how funding's been designed and calculated to address priority needs that the survivors have been asking for again and again, you know, for nearly three decades. So, you know, that announcement doesn't show how the funding will reach our foundation, the Stolen Generation organisations and link-ups that work with survivors. So I think we need to see with government some real progress on partnership with funding that aligns the Close the Gap priorities and actions. And, you know, we want to see Stolen Generation survivors visible and prioritised in national policies, data systems, and also in accountability frameworks, just as the Closing the Gap independent Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander-led review through the Coalition of Peaks called for it. You know, out of that review, it called for all of this. So there's no clear link to us to the accelerated bringing them home actions that's needed and the announcement that points to advocacy aged care services. instead of, you know, funding for aged care and reform survivors urgently need.
For today, I guess if there was a message you had to give to Stolen Generation survivors, what would you say?
I'd just like to, you know, to thank them. I think we work for them. We work on behalf of them. They're at the centre of what we do. And we understand very clearly that today can be very, you know, trigger a whole range of emotions.
Chair of the Healing Foundation, Professor Steve Larkin, speaking to National Indigenous Radio Services, Adam Evans.